Welcome to Credit Matters Newsletter for February 2019. Our monthly newsletter contains information about financial risk management issues, blogs, advice of new business listings, and free advice from organisations such as ASIC. What's new at Credit Matters? This month has been full on with networking, a presentation to business owners in Geelong, and attending a cryptocurrency course. Another feature is due out within a week or so, which will be available for free on our website at creditmatters.com.au. The feature's title, Business to Business Credit in 2020, is my version of what the future might look like by then. Today, as I observe the business community at work, I can see there are already new way considerations at play when extending business to business credit. The brochures included with this month's newsletter are Note from Australian Small Business and Family Enterprise Ombudsman about a fair go in court for small business, details of our guide for tradies, a copy of an article I wrote for the AICM, Can You Afford Not to Employ a Professional Credit Manager?, Jan Rees' book for small business, Get Paid, and a brochure promoting the use of the value of the telephone by Jenny Cartwright and myself. Don't forget, if you wish to promote your business at an affordable rate, contact Kim at kim@creditmatters.com.au. You'll be surprised at what we have to offer. Quote of the month. You only find out who is swimming naked when the tide goes out. Warren Buffett. Monthly business observation. Warren Buffett's quote is particularly relevant in today's business environment. The truth behind Mr. Buffett's quote is seen when a business collapses and enters into insolvency. The reasons why a business may go out of business are varied. Not all business closures are caused because of managerial incompetence or lack of money. Some were just in the wrong place and time when bad luck struck. When a business does collapse and an insolvency administrator is appointed, however, as we have seen of late, we find that many have run up large debts and lack the funds to trade themselves out of trouble. Other businesses have failed to collect debt owed to them because of poor sales procedures, a lack of due diligence, outsourcing of accounts, and lack of follow-up or selling to the wrong customer. In the cases mentioned above, the problem has been a lack of administrative substance, care, and managerial incompetence. In other words, as Mr. Buffett alluded to, the business may have looked substantial, but it lacked substance. When the pressure was on, they folded. Many of the businesses entering insolvency were the brightest and the biggest of their kind. They also came from every industry, and the age or size of the business made no difference. Furthermore, these are those businesses we do hear about. There would have been many smaller businesses entering insolvency or just closing down and going out of business. We did not hear about them until it affected us or we made business inquiries. As we enter a pre-recession period, there is a lot of merit in understanding the value of Mr. Buffett's quote. Many of your current and potential customers are going to be experiencing difficulties if the effects of the next recession become obvious. There are going to be many of those flash, well-known, long-standing and too-big-to-fail businesses which will cause you grief because they lack the substance and means to keep going. Monthly business conundrum. Is it better to sell on credit or for cash up front and part payments? Or is there a third way? It really depends on your business acumen, times and what other opportunities are available. Today, however, there are many different sales channels available for a business to sell their goods and services. It is wise to remember, selling on credit is always fraught with danger, irrespective of the size of your customer's business. If you offer business-to-business credit, customers will expect credit terms because today they believe it is a right, not a responsibility. As business-to-business credit providers are finding these days, increasingly the fraudsters, the unprincipled, and the naive have more rights than they do. If you sell for cash and part payments, you can generally offer a product or service at a far cheaper price than those offering credit. You have this advantage because you do not need an accounts receivable or credit department, or complete due diligence, or have to pay for all those other costs required when selling on credit. Perhaps with the right type of technology, employees, and a bit of common sense, sell via cash for a few months, and offer credit as a reward later on when a customer has proven worthy of a credit facility. The secret of success, as always, is to believe in what you do, operate to suit the current business environment, and be innovative. There is no place in the modern world where a business with a lazy approach to sales can survive in the long term. No matter which selling format or formats you use, you will always work hard for your money. This month's Business Inconvenient Truth. Technology and humans can be equally dangerous to your business. It is probably an inconvenient truth for some people. However, both technology and humans can cause equal damage to your business. No matter which business process you favour, technology or people-based, each have inherent dangers for your business. How can this be when one is a machine or AI-based and the other is a human? Well, the answer is quite simple. The employment of both processes are based on human decisions. When used with the most purest of reasons for the advancement of humankind, such as medical breakthroughs, space exploration, pure research, etc., technology delivers wonderful results. In the business setting, technology also provides us with wonderful opportunities to operate our business more efficiently and cheaper than with humans. Unfortunately, the ethos behind using technology in business is not always completed with the best interests of all parties. Rather, all too often it is used to satisfy the agenda of the people. It is in these situations where technology becomes dangerous for your business. Likewise, when employing people, if done so with beneficial interests of all in mind, people add value to your business. When they are employed without their best interests in mind, employees can do all sorts of damage. We see this situation best when technology and people interact with emails. Emails are a wonderful way of creating speedy and cheap communication between different parties. When emails are sent with no intention of causing harm and with untainted content, they add value. When emails are sent with corruption or malicious intentions in mind, a dedicated and professional employee is unlikely to engage and simply delete the email. On the other hand, a bored, naive, or the employee with equally malicious intents will click on the email and possibly corrupt the business's technology systems. At the end of the day, both technology and humans can assist or damage your business. It is always people which decide whether the outcome will be beneficial or destructive. Word of the month. Is the spelling Nana with one N or Nana with two N's? Talking about one's grandmother, we often use the term Nan and Nana. In Australia, what then is the preferred spelling? Is Nana spelled with one N or is Nana spelled with two N's? First, we do have to remember that Nana and Nana with one or two N's are considered colloquial spellings and as such are used informally. Also, since people use Nana, one end, and Nana, two ends, as names, names can often vary in spelling. Having said that, the best approach is to refer to the authoritative references. The Macquarie Dictionary lists Nana with one N as a secondary spelling of Nana with two N's, and the entry of Nana with one N refers on to Nana with two N's. Thus, according to the Macquarie Dictionary, the preferred spelling would be Nana with two N's. The Australian Oxford Dictionary entry Nana states a variation of Nan, with Nan listing Nana, one N, and Nana, two N's, as variations for Nan. The Australian Oxford thus does not directly give us an answer for Nana with one or two N's. The online Oxford Dictionary doesn't directly list Nana with two N's, but interestingly states Nana with two N's as the British form for Nana, one N, under the Nana entry with one N. Based on the Macquarie Dictionary, it will appear the preferred spelling in Australia is Nana with two N's. The spelling preference in Australia appears to be grandmother, Nan, Nana with two N's, and then Nana with one N. Thank you for listening to this month's Credit Matters newsletter for February 2019.